Each day, the Lord wants to reveal new things in our lives. The question is, are we looking for them? Today on Chapter and Verse Radio, we begin our broadcast with this interesting point from Mike McIntosh.
We should be more like Jesus, I think. Use every situation as a God moment. And Jesus meeting this woman is a God moment. And I want to challenge you this week that you'll say, aha, a God moment. It could be you, the little boy, standing in line to get an ice cream cone. It could be you with an elderly man with his walker trying to get down the aisle at the grocery store. It's a God moment.
And I'll stand up and shout and praise you, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing.
Thanks for joining us for this Wednesday edition of Chapter and Verse as we forge ahead through our series in the Gospel of John. God moments. Those are the times when the Holy Spirit reveals something to us. And as we're enlightened, we realize it's our Father wanting to bless us by giving us an opportunity to bless others. In our story today, we see Jesus giving not only the woman of Samaria, but the disciples as well, an encounter with a God moment. The woman at the well is our study title today on CNV as we again turn to the fourth chapter of John to find revolutionary concepts of conduct and an attitude explained by Jesus Christ. Now, let's join Mike McIntosh as he continues our study.
You know that some of those things that you just were addicted to or lusted after or desired so strongly, it just goes away. Because you don't thirst for that anymore. You're so happy and content that you accept who you are in the Lord and you know He loves you. She's stunned that Jesus is a gentleman. She's filled with guilt and hurt, like many people are, male and female, because of bad relationships. And bad relationships, you wonder, is it because of me or was that person really an idiot? Hey, they probably were the idiot. It wasn't you or me. You know, but we do have guilt about people we've hurt. Things we've said, relationships that broke, failed marriages, failed relationships. So you know that she's overflowing with guilt, and Jesus didn't condemn her of her weaknesses and her strength. You know, I came across some statistics that tell us that 17%, and this is low, 17% of all women struggle with porn addiction in our country. One of every three visitors to all adult websites are women. 9.4 million women access adult websites every month. And these statistics, I've been told, are low. This is from the Internet Filter Review. Result from a ChristianNet poll reported by MarketWire.com says 50% of all Christian men and 20% of all Christian women are addicted to pornography. 50% of all Christian men and 20% of all Christian women are addicted to pornography. 60% of the women who answered the survey admitting to having significant struggles with lust. 40% admitted to being involved in sexual sin in the past year. 20% of the church-going female participants struggle with looking at pornography on an ongoing basis. Now, the national level is 17%, but the Christian level is 20% from women. They say that 34% of female readers of today's Christian Woman's online newsletter admitted to intentionally accessing internet porn in a recent poll. So this is nothing new. It's just worse with the internet. It's just worse. They say that most of the counseling calls on Christian hotlines for men and women is not only about their marriage and their family, but it's about their sexual addiction. So we can identify with this woman. She had no internet, but she had five quote-unquote husbands and a sixth man that she's living with. She's ostracized by society. She's empty. She's guilty. She's full of pain and hurt. Nobody's loving her or trying to correct her or get her back to the right place. And Jesus, as a gentleman, as tired as he is, just says, I have things you don't know about. You've tried to find pleasure from men and acceptance from men, but I have living water. And I'm here so that you'll never have to go back to the wells of the world again. And immediately this woman said, sir, I perceive you're a prophet. You know, she had enough religious training and in her background that the minute anything that sounded spiritual came up, boy, to cover her guilt, I perceive you're a prophet. Yeah, okay, I'll talk your language now. You're talking religion and spiritual. And he said, no, you don't know what you worship. You haven't got a clue what you worship. You don't have the answers. You might have some training, some knowledge, some background. A study, now listen to this, a study of universities in America, of university networks by Palisade Systems, found searches for child pornography at 230 colleges and universities nationwide. 230 of our nation's colleges and universities, the searches are for child pornography. The research revealed 40% of all searches on file-to-file sharing systems involve child or adult pornography in our universities and our colleges. What are we breeding for 10 years from now? If the teenagers in our colleges that are being trained are into child pornography, how sick is our country becoming? And what is God going to do about it? He's going to judge it. And will he use the Muslims? He could use them. But I realize that he's using something else too. One of the biggest gods in America, the god of mammon, money and power. Do you know DirecTV is owned by Hughes Technology, that is owned by General Motors, a subsidiary? And it is estimated that they make about $500 million a year off of pornography on DirecTV. And you wonder why General Motors is going bankrupt. If I were a CEO of any large corporation in America, I would immediately get rid of any companies we own that are polluting America with pornography. Do you know that the cable systems, Comcast, Adelphia, you go on and name them, Time Warner, they make hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars selling adult movies and pornography to the American public, and they should be ashamed of themselves. And anybody that owns stock in those countries, companies should be ashamed of themselves, because they're all going to stand before the throne of God and they're going to be judged. America is going to fall apart inside out before the enemies come to our streets. It's obvious why our big corporations are going bankrupt. It's obvious why our big corporations are finding that we have unethical leadership. Someone should do a research book on fallen CEOs and board members of large corporations around the world and see what the connection is to infidelity, immorality, and pornography. It is crippling America. This woman was crippled. The study in the universities found that 73% of movie searches in the university systems, in the dorms, 73% of movie searches were for pornography by the students in America. 24% of image searches, images, just still photos, was of child pornography by the college students in the United States of America. We are the great Satan in one sense. A fourth are looking at child pornography in the dorm rooms using the university systems. Only 3% of the searches on the 230 college campuses did not involve pornography or copyrighted materials. Only 3%. What are our students getting prepared to be when they grow up? Sick perverts? Can you see? You sow what you reap. And instead of standing up against it, we have now become it. And it is going to destroy us. This woman has some religious training, but it was just religious training. It was never relationship training. You see, Jesus said, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, there are three things it says about God that are important in this. Number one, God is spirit, God is light, and God is love. And as he tells her God is a spirit, he is God, the light shining upon her heart, revealing God is love to her soul. It's not where you worship, Jesus says, but who you worship. It's not where you worship, it's who you worship. That's very important for you to realize. You could have all the background in religion and Christianity, and you can hop from church to church in any town, and you can miss God, and you can miss heaven. It's that simple. Lord, Lord, let us in. And Jesus says, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Well, we cast out demons in your name. We prophesied in your name. We did good works in your name. I don't know you. It's who you worship, not where you worship. And the third party that we see here is these self-centered disciples. You know, fatigue and hunger filled their minds. Jesus was just as hungry and just as tired, but people filled his mind. He wanted to help. You see, the cares of this world blinded them from evangelism. We're too busy. Stop and ask yourself, when was the last time you told somebody about eternal life? When was the last time you ever read a scripture to somebody? When was the last time that you actually shared your faith with somebody? See, these guys were professionals. They were too tired, too hungry. We need a break today. The cares of this world blinded them from evangelism. You see, the woman was a blur to them, but not to Jesus. And many times people become a blur. You walk past them, you don't think about, oh, it's just a homeless guy. Oh, it's just an old lady. Oh, it's just some crippled person. Oh, it's just a little kid. And they become a blur to you. Life is about you fulfilling all of your needs, narcissism. It's about you being satisfied and your belly being filled and you feeling good about yourself. When all day long the God moments come and go and people walk by you in great need. Not one of those men stopped and witnessed to that woman and said, you know who's in your town by the well over there? They just kept on going. And by the time they got to town, I wonder how many of those disciples said, hey, did you see that body on that lady? Boy, she's a good-looking woman, wasn't she? Wow, yeah. Hey, who's the woman going out to, oh, she's the town. Ah, they probably found out a little about her because when it came back, they marveled why was Jesus talking to her, but they didn't ask him what he was wanting because they knew that he was too pure for that. So they knew a little about her, but they didn't care about her. That's the great truth of Christianity, ladies and gentlemen. You die to yourself, you pick up your cross, what is your burden, and you follow after him daily. Daily. How many God moments will you have this afternoon by the time you go to bed tonight? How many will you have tomorrow by the time you walk into school or to the office? How many blur moments will you have where people are just a blur and they don't matter? If you go to San Diego State, why don't you sit down in the quad sometime? Go to City College, why don't you just sit down on a bench sometime? You're at Madison High School or Claremont, why don't you just lean against the wall by the cafe sometime? Just look at the people and pray for them. How about praying for the people in the cars next to you when you're in a traffic jam? I try to pray for the people when I'm walking down an aisle at Home Depot or at Vons or something. Just pray for them. Don't need to talk to them. Just bless that woman. Man, she must have a lot of strength with those four kids hanging all over her. Lord, bless that man. He looks so frustrated. Lord, bless this teller making $8 an hour. How in the world is she paying rent and car payment and insurance and medical and doing all she does? You know, have you ever thought about that? Don't let people be a blur. Wherever you are a God moment waiting to happen. Fatigue and hunger filled their minds. The woman was a blur to them. But often we miss the point. It's business. It's sports. Boy, I know men that can quote all the ERAs and the RBIs, and they can quote all the touchdowns, and they can quote all the stats of baseball and basketball and football, but they can't quote a Bible verse. Boy, you're in a blur, missing the point because of food. I'm hungry. We've got to go. But it's all about the people. That's the point. And then we have the sinful village people. The woman goes in and said, come on out and meet a man that told me everything I've ever done. And all the men bailed out. Doesn't say any women came, but all the village goes out and the men bail out. Hey, what does he know about me? So they go out. And then they believe not because of what she said, but because of what he said. You see, it's not where you worship. It's who you worship. It's Jesus. There's this new thing that's old thing. It's Gnosticism, in a sense, from first century called the emerging church. And then there was the X-generation church. And then there was the happening church. And then there's the secret-friendly church. Hey, there's only one church. It's Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's not the Bible and some charismatic preacher. It's not the Bible and some razzle-dazzle facility. And it's not the Bible and anything but you and Jesus Christ. In the day that I give you anything but the Bible and Jesus Christ, just let me retire in a field somewhere, the horses, and I'll eat grass the rest of my life. It's just you. It's who you worship, not where you worship. It's who you worship. If you're worshiping the system, there's a whole infiltration into the body of Christ trying to rip people off and say, you don't have enough, you need more. It's not the size of the sanctuary. It's the number that are going out of that sanctuary and passing Jesus on. It's you. The whole creation was about you. All things were made for you and given to you by God. And all things were made by him for the express purpose that you could know him and you could fellowship with him. It's not about you being tickled in the ears on Sunday morning. It's about you being fired up for the love of God, that you'll have God moments and that people will no longer be a blur and you'll see like God sees. He sees people just as they are, fragile and broken, made out of clay, just needing love and understanding, some encouraging words. and to see people that'll be role models for them by living holy lives. The people just don't believe, but they must believe. J. Vernon McGee, in his commentary through the Bible, says an atheist in London several years ago made the statement that the thing that disturbed him was that the Bible might be true and that Jesus might come again. If he did, this man realized he'd be in big trouble. And believe me, he surely will be in big trouble. You know, better to know than not to know. Now, if you're here this morning, I'm not trying to embarrass you. I don't think from the tone of your email that you're here, but this is a courageous woman. This is a woman going back 30 years that wrote me this email. And I wrote her back last night, and I told her, I just think it's courageous that she would do it. Dear Pastor McIntosh, I do not know where to start this email, but I was compelled to write to you. This morning, after I heard something on the news, you said something on the news that you said to the old congregation in 1978 over at the North Park Theater location, something I never forgot and over the years have only given a brief conversational nod when and if this subject ever arose. I have to say, I no longer attend church and haven't since my 1 year in North Park with you. You did baptize me at the Bay in that year, 1978, but just not enough time and no excuses. It just all scared me so much. I mean, the ministry and the message back then. At that time, you were teaching Revelation, and this is what this email is about. To mark and be aware of the end times, you spoke on a cashless society, which we now basically have. You spoke of the imminent clash of God and Satan, but it was something you said back then in 1978. And then I heard on the news today, and that was that in the end times, that Christians would have to submit to a religious sect, deny God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, or be killed. And that if we did that, then we have no hope of going to heaven, foretold in the book of Revelation. Well, on the news this morning, they were reporting on the visit of the Iranian president, and guess what this guy said? He said that, quote, all Christians will have to embrace Islam or they will be killed. Well, I almost stuck the mascara brush in my eye when I turned to look at the TV. I got cold all over and just sat there remembering what you said nearly 30 years ago that I thought was an impossibility to ever even be in the realm of possibilities. Yes, I know Christians have always been persecuted, but now in this day and age, and certainly not in America. I thought you were talking crazy talk than a preacher full of overzealousness trying to gain the hearts of the lost. But put together all you said back then, and it all coming to fruition now, and with what this Iranian president said, well, it is just how you described it would be and coming to America. I know the mark of the man, the 666, is a computer chip that will be inserted under the skin for under the guise of security purposes, kind of like the ones they put in the animals now. We have the debit cards and automatic bank deposits. I never handle cash anymore. The rise of a new religion in the West, which is not new, but here the rise is Islam, that one cleric in Iran gave out money over there in Iran to the villagers that lost everything in a clash a few weeks ago, so now the people are paying homage to him for saving them from despair. This Iranian president calling for nuclear war, fire in the sky to bring their salvation near, and the list goes on. It is all coming true here and now. I left your flock because all you spoke of was nuts to me, and it scared me too much to listen and keep watch every minute of every day. Here I am living in these times and remembering your sermons like I just heard them yesterday. I am still scared, but what I am scared of is human death, not life with God. I've tried over the years to go back, but I have not been able to get through a service. I walk out, it's like I cannot face the inevitable, not like Jesus did. I was told once that I was like Peter, strong in personal faith, but so weak in spiritual fruitfulness. I do not know how to change that, and so far, God has not seen fit to change it with me, I guess. Anyway, I just wanted to tell you that you were right on target, but I know you already know that, and you knew it back then. Thanks for listening. Let's pray for this lady. You all have friends like that. Lord, this lady is very courageous to write to a minister and to pour out her heart. And what a truth that she's hearing on the news that we are being threatened to either submit to Allah or have our heads chopped off. Would you wake up the church, please, Lord? Would you wake up America? It's just going on too long that they're not going into the fields that are ripe for harvest. Give us God moments this week, Lord, and let us be awake to the truth of righteousness in Jesus' name. So in conclusion, it's really wonderful to see that Jesus will take time for everyone. He'll take time for each one of you. Time for the individual and time for everyone she came in contact with. They say that every one of us are only six people apart from the rest of the world. Imagine the influence that you have. You think your influence is where you live. It's the money you have, the credit line you have. Absolutely not. That all dies with you. And some kid's going to get it and spoil it and waste it. Won't do what you wanted with it anyhow. So think about what you're doing with your life. You only get so many God moments and then it's over with. The woman did what each one of us should do. She went and told others about the love and the forgiveness of Jesus. The disciples, concerned with their stomachs, questioned and were critical in their analysis of what Jesus was doing. But they missed a great opportunity and they let it pass by. Don't let them pass by this week. The village people knew from the moment Jesus spoke that he was the Messiah. It only took someone to point him out. That's the God moment. You point him out, and they'll pick up on it very quickly. The practical part of this story is Jesus is using this situation as a training seminar for the bigger picture, and that's where we'll pick up next week. You say 4 months until the harvest. I say it's ripe now. Look on the harvest and pray to the Lord of the harvest. He'll send more laborers into the harvest field. Shall we stand and shall we pray? God, we thank you so much that you will sit with us. You'll take time with us. You'll convict us of our past, but you won't beat us up for our failures. And Lord, we thank you that you told this woman to go get someone. And so we realize you're telling us, go get someone. Father, may we be aware of the God moments the minute we walk out of this building. May we see people clearly and not as a blur. May our worldly appetites not keep us from evangelism, of sharing Jesus with other people. Lord, open our eyes to see how self-centered we are and how much we consume for ourselves at the expense of those that are wandering in darkness around us. May you bless this congregation, God, to be a light unto the nations. May you use them to bring hope into the city of San Diego, like Sheriff Colander, then the chief, did for those people in that part of San Diego that was troubled with gangs. May our lives bring happiness in our neighborhoods. God, may you use the things in our lives to open our eyes instead of us drawing in and pouting and whining. May we just be open vessels that we could sit with people next to Jesus and let Jesus just love on them. So bless these men, bless these women, that the lust of the eyes and the pride of life and the lust of the flesh would no longer control them, that they'd surrender their spirits to you, and that they could be fresh and filled with this living water so they'll never thirst again from the world. And as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, many of you that realize you keep going back to the wells of San Diego and the wells of television, the wells of the videos, the wells of the internet, the wells of your flesh, and you're never satisfied. But today you are willing to be honest like this lady and honest like the lady that wrote. And you're willing to say, dear God, please forgive me of my sins. And give me the strength to know the God moments and to see people clearly and not as a blur. God, would you take my life that I waste no more time consuming it on myself, but consuming it with you, loving people. And I do pray you'll forgive me of my sin. And if that's your prayer, where everybody else is reverently bowing their heads and just talking about their issues with God, those of you that prayed that prayer with me, I'd just like to remember you in prayer as I'm driving home today. Would you just look up at me and raise your hand? I'll acknowledge you back. Let it go. Let it go. Whatever it is that keeps life a blur, let it go. It's going to kill you. Just let it go. Yes, sir. Let it go. The odds are against you today if you hang on to it. Let it go. And let his love show through your life. Lord, you've seen all these people, and the boys and girls too, that have reached out to you. And so we're going to trust by faith that you'll forgive them. You have said that if we'll confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. As you have forgiven this woman went out and told others of the forgiveness, we pray you do the same for our lives. Now we pray for these dozens and dozens of people. Only you and they know the struggles in their soul, the deep struggles that aren't even spoken of about this woman that Jesus knew and she knew he knew. Those are the issues we're asking you'll just take the roots of those struggles and that sin out of the very depth of their being. Free these men, free these women. Let them just be filled with Jesus and let them grab their Bibles and start reading and knowing you. And God, may they learn to worship you. You are the one. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
May I encourage you to always be open to receiving a God moment and allow the Holy Spirit to direct you in all your paths. If you need to make some real steps to ordering your life according to God's principles and giving in to Him, let me suggest that you check in at MikeMacintosh.com and click on the Know God link, where you'll find additional insight and resources there to help you. The address is MikeMacintosh.com and look under Know God. Be sure to join us here Thursday for our next study in the book of John. At that time, we'll be encouraged to let God use you. Don't miss what's next on CNV. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.